Hey, welcome back. We roll into hour number two of Gwen and Chris on a Friday. Finally a Friday. Heading into the weekend. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Arizona, working his way over to the ballpark right now. Chase Field, as we just discussed, where tonight the Padres and Diamondbacks will kick off a three-game series. Sam Leavitt has the pregame show, the EcoWater SoCal pregame show, coming up at about 5:30 this afternoon. Dylan Cease faces rookie Slade Ciccone. I know, he sounds like a pizza delivery guy.
I know, he sounds like a pizza, actually.
Yeah, he'll be making the first delivery tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lineups are out. Padres lineup is pretty much what you would expect. Profar still in the leadoff spot. Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Bogarts after the day off. Jackson Merrill hitting sixth. Campusano, Kim, and Tyler Wade. The Padre 9, no sign yet of Donovan Solano for those that are waiting. That has not. And there's nothing that actually says it's going to happen. I just know a lot of people are rumoring it.
I was
right
going to say, well, yes, there was a report that it's imminent, you said earlier. But
yeah, you can say anything's imminent, you know?
You can. I personally don't, you know. When I looked at Donovan Solano's numbers, I was a little bit more surprised because I knew that he was an older guy, and I thought, man, this is something that the Padres have already done. But then you look at his numbers, and he was hitting 280-something last year and a good amount of at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, you know, he could hopefully help somewhat, but I don't know that he's the savior.
I don't know what he gives you. You know, I don't want to overall. Look, you're going to have to bring him up at some time and take a shot at it, take a look, you know. Maybe he'll catch fire. But
yeah,
I'm not expecting Donovan Solano at 36 years of age to come in here and save the Padres at the DH spot.
I'm with you, but
you know he's
the
hit,
DH spot.
He's never hit more than 7 home runs in a season.
It's him or Grand Pauly.
No, it isn't. You can use Tyler Wade and you can use Eggy Rosario.
I like Eggy and Tyler Wade.
I do too. So that's why I'm in no huge hurry to get Solano, but he was the Silver Slugger winner in the COVID season of 2020. So he has that
yes.
on his resume. Hit 326 that year. A couple of quick awards before we get to the Daily Gambit. They announced the Players of the Month for Major League Baseball.
Ooh.
National League winner, Scraby.
Ooh, let me see. Is it Mookie Betts?
It was a blowout. Yeah, Betts. He's leading in every category. American League winner for Player of the Month. Care to take a guess? We don't follow the American League as closely.
No, it's got to be Juan Soto, though.
It is not.
Really?
They did not give it to Juan Soto. Instead, it is Gunnar Henderson.
I almost said him, but
of the Baltimore
he's a rookie.
Orioles. He's a second-year man.
He's a second-year man.
Second-year man. Gunnar Henderson was the Player of the Month. The Rookies of the Month were also named today. Care to guess the American League Rookie of the Month? I would expect you to get this.
You would expect me to
get
this?
Yes, I would. I believe you pencil him into your fantasy lineup every day.
American League Rookie?
Yes, I'm almost sure he's on your team. Boy.
Why am I blanking? Let me go to my team
real
quick.
For a fantasy champion, you sure are.
Because Jackson Churio is an NL guy.
He is. He would not be in the running for the American League Rookie of the Month.
Oh, is it Colton Cowser?
It is.
Wow.
Colton Cowser, also of the Orioles.
I would never
have guessed that. The American League Rookie of the Month. He had a really good month. National League Rookie of the Month.
Is it not Jackson Merrill?
It is not even close, unfortunately, to Jackson Merrill, nor should it be. Jackson obviously got off to a great start.
Yeah.
He has faded a little bit here in the last week and a half. But even had he not faded, it would have been difficult for Jackson Merrill to beat out Shota Imanaga the Chicago Cubs,
would have been
who's
really
off to an
actually.
Absolutely dominating start. 4-0, 0.98 ERA. He's off to the best start for any pitcher in their rookie season since Fernando Valenzuela, which was incredible, Fernando Mania in 1981. That's 43 years ago since somebody's pitched like this. And if you're wondering about Imanaga and who he is and what he's all about, we're all going to get a chance to see it up close soon because he's pitching against the Padres next week at Wrigley Field.
He said they asked him, what was it like to pitch in New York for the first time?
He had a very funny response, which you wouldn't expect.
No, but he said he felt comfortable because he looked out his window and he saw the same view during Spider-Man. So he just thought, hey, Spider-Man does this. I can do this.
Thank goodness for Spider-Man.
Yeah. I love it. How old is he, do you know?
Imanaga? I don't. I'll have to look that up while we get into today's Daily Gambit stuff.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris, there's a player being interviewed on TV right now, and his name is Dane Myers. He is looking down, has not looked into the camera once. Do you know what people bring up to me all the time now that we're on the cameras?
What's that?
When I'm thinking, I stare at the ceiling all the time. I don't ever look into the camera.
You do.
I'm trying to look more into the camera, but it's very strange for me to look right into the camera at all times.
I think it's strange for the people watching if I just look into the camera.
Why?
I don't know.
That was a really extreme close-up.
I'm busy searching for stuff.
Imanaga is 30 years old.
So. You know, there's some people who say a guy that's had, you know, career in the Japanese league shouldn't be eligible for Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Ichiro was a Rookie of the Year. So if it's good enough for Ichiro, it's good enough for Shota Imanaga.
Yeah,
That's all right. Jackson Merrill certainly made a nice mark in April.
Yeah.
Now we'll see if he can get out of this slump. He did not have a hit on the homestand.
He did not have one hit?
No, but he's hitting .438 on the road this year.
Mm.
So hopefully it'll all come back to him tonight in AZ.
Against Chiquetto.
Against another rookie. Slade. It's not Chiquetto.
I honestly thought it was Chiquetto.
Now I've lost that page.
All right, let me get into the bets, and then you can let us know.
I have so many pages open on
my
computer.
Why do you have so many pages open?
So that I can refer to things like Slade Ciccone.
Ciccone, that's it.
Yeah, as quickly
as possible.
Who
are you, my mom? I told you the other day my mom came to me and was like, my phone's slow. And so I look at it, and I look at her browser. She's got 275 tabs open. That's why it's slow.
Yeah.
All right. Pacers were 5-point favorites over the Bucks last night. You guys went Bucks. I went Pacers.
You did.
The Pacers win 120-98.
Did you just pick the Pacers because you're a Tommy Pham fan?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch,
no.
I know.
No, I did not.
You did not pick them for that reason? Okay, good.
No, I picked them because I think the Bucks are getting the biggest pass for one of the worst decisions in NBA history by firing their coach, who was doing very well, by the way.
He would have been the coach of the All-Star team because they had the best record in the NBA at the time of his firing.
Exactly. They're getting a pass for some reason.
Adrian Griffin is his name. He's no longer the coach. Doc Rivers is, and the Bucks are going home. But do you know what the Indiana Fever's victory means?
You mean Pacers?
Pacers, right, I've said the Fever because I'm looking at this. The Indiana Pacers' victory last night means that Game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals will be played in Indiana.
Mm.
But
that night
was supposed to be the debut preseason game for Caitlin Clark and the Fever.
How did they not figure this out?
Well, the NBA didn't care. They said you're going to play Game 3 next Friday night. So the Fever,
they're going to play in a high school gym.
No, they're going to move Caitlin Clark's exhibition debut up a day.
Ah,
and she and the Fever will meet the Atlanta Dream. I'm guessing a little bit there. I think it is. Yes, the Dream.
Okay,
it'll be the Dream and the Fever next Thursday night, May 9th. For all of you Caitlin Clark fans, she'll make her preseason debut a day early because the Pacers won.
All right.
All right.
Moving on from that, the Sixers and the Knicks. The Sixers are 3-point favorites. Chris and I chose the Knicks. Tony chose the Sixers, and the Knicks won the game 118-115.
It was a tremendous game. I mean, it really was exciting. Again, the Knicks had an 8-point lead with a few minutes to play. Sixers just would not die, started hitting some threes, and they end up tying it up. And then Jalen Brunson gets the ball, draws two defenders, finds Josh Hart, and Josh Hart hits the three. That kind of was the blow that turned the tide in the Knicks' favor. But Brunson was incredible. I think he had 41 points.
Yeah, we'll
get to that in a second. Yep. Mm-hmm. But he's turned into one of the best players in the league. And that was where Joel Embiid was, supposed to be the best player in the league. But Brunson got the best of Joel Embiid. I know they don't match up head-to-head, but Brunson made the plays. I think the Knicks are going to go to the finals. Yeah, I think they're going to beat. I'm sure they're going to beat Indiana, and I think they can beat Boston if that's what they match up with in the Eastern Final. I think the Knicks can get to the finals.
High praise.
We'll see if that happens, but I like the Knicks.
Next bet we made was who scored more points in the game, Joel Embiid or Jalen Brunson? And you chose Brunson. Chris or Tony and I chose Embiid. Brunson, or let's start with Embiid. He had 39 points. You think that was a pretty good go at it? Well, Jalen Brunson had 41 points.
Yeah. Brunson scored over 40 in each of the last three games of that series.
Dang.
And it's not like they don't know he's going to get the ball all the time.
Wow.
So he's doing it against two defenders often. He's slippery.
Slippery.
He is. You can't get a hold on him out there, and he just finds himself an open shot, and then he nails it.
Does he sweat a lot? Is that why?
I don't know about that.
All right, next one. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm going to use a Tony thing here. Blah.
Blah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Bruins and the Maple Leafs. Bruins were -1.5 on the puck line. You guys chose the Bruins. I chose the Leafs, and the Leafs won 2-1.
Yeah, the Leafs, as you like to call them, keep winning without Austin Matthews, who's the leading scorer in the NHL. He hasn't played in the last two games, and yet Toronto has won. Boston, which had a great record last year and blew a 3-1 lead in the first round of the series, may blow a 3-1 lead in this series. Mm. Back-to-back years, the Bruins are under fire, and I imagine the fans in Boston would not be too happy about that.
Yeah,
if they lose Game 7
probably
tomorrow.
A little angry.
They will be.
Guardians and Astros, total score over under 9 last night. We all went over, and we were all correct. The Astros won 8-2, and that's 10 runs.
I know the Astros are only 11-20. They've got a ways to go, but they're starting to show some signs that they're getting out of their slumber.
I will not go where my head first went. When you said that, I will not.
What, that they're showing signs of getting out of their slumber?
No, that's fine and everything. It just doesn't ever seem like it happens to the team here in San Diego. But they've won two games. We're heading into a third game here.
I think the Padres are hardly comparable to the Astros.
No,
right now.
Yes, I agree with that.
The Astros were,
they were pretty bad.
Yeah, they were like the Rockies and the Marlins there for a little while.
Yes, they were. They had single-digit wins for a little bit.
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby, anyone? Is that this weekend?
Tomorrow. Yeah, it's been raining all day in Kentucky today.
Do they race
They're
in the
worried.
Rain?
Oh, yes, they do. They race in pretty much anything.
Dangerous.
That could... Yeah, they may have changed some of those rules with the lightning rules and things. They may not, if there's lightning in the area, may not allow them to go out. But if it's raining, they will run that race tomorrow for sure.
Serious
I'm
question.
Not saying it will. I'm just saying if it does, they'll run the... Run for the roses.
Serious question.
What you got?
Do horses run well in the mud?
Well, a serious answer. It changes the complexion of the prognosticating for the race because some horses love it and run great.
Interesting.
And others that are great
can't
go anywhere.
They need a perfect track.
It's up to you as a handicapper to try to figure out which horse loves the mud. And they call them a mudder. A horse
mutter.
That runs well in the rain. So,
do we have any mutters in this one?
I haven't done any research at all for the Kentucky Derby, but there is some rain in the forecast for tomorrow in Louisville.
All right, so we'll see. Horse Sierra Leone, 3-1 odds.
Okay.
Catching Freedom, 8-1.
Right.
Fierceness, 5-2. That's that's
those are your top
odds.
Three.
Yeah.
Well, and those odds will probably change if it rains. Because, like I said, some horses will have better odds because of the rain, and some will be considered to be longer shots.
Yeah, so there you go.
Because of the rain. All right, good. Kentucky Derby tomorrow. No Bob Baffert. He is still not allowed to run a horse in the Kentucky Derby. This has been going on for about 4 years now, and I was talking to Bryce Miller about this. You know, first of all, I'm a Bob Baffert fan. I covered the horse races many years ago here in San Diego. Got to know him a little bit. I like him. He got caught cheating. He paid his penance. And now they won't let him back in, basically, because they feel he's a little arrogant. But horse racing is doing itself a disservice because, frankly, Bob Baffert's about the only person that anybody out there has ever heard of.
I can see his face right now.
Yeah.
You're taking him out of anyone else's face.
Right. You're taking him out of the sport. You're taking away your number one drawing card as far as human beings are concerned. I know that's about the horses. Kind of makes me think of the golf, which gave Tiger Woods the exemption for the U.S. Open.
Yep.
I heard some people are upset about that. Are you kidding me? Tiger Woods hasn't done enough for golf to be able to be allowed into the U.S. Open under any circumstance?
I said it last night on the Scraby Show. I personally am not going to be looking forward to seeing anything Tiger does in the U.S. Open because it's not going to be good golf. But Tiger Woods created the PGA Tour as it is today, so he deserves every tournament invite
absolutely.
He can get.
Absolutely. You're right, Scraby. It's probably not fun to watch him now.
No.
But he should be in the event if he so chooses.
Yes, exactly.
All right, we'll have today's prognostications coming up in just a moment after we check traffic.
Oh, hold on.
A big sports weekend is ahead.
All right.
And we'll have our picks when we return. All right, welcome back. Quinn and Chris. With Tony on his way to the ball yard in Phoenix, he'll be rejoining us. Countdown's coming up in about 10 minutes. Today's category, what are our all-time or who are our all-time five favorite Padres not named Gwynn?
Gwynn Jr.
Tony Gwynn or Gwynn Jr., both of them not eligible for the list.
Darn.
But we came up with our favorite five. You're welcome to play along. Who would you have out there as your all-time favorite Padre if you couldn't choose a Gwynn? Anyway, we'll have our countdown for you coming up in about 10 minutes. Before we get to today's picks, interesting story has come out. The NBA, in the wake of the Jonte Porter betting scandal, this is the guy who apparently bet on himself, right, to score a certain amount of points or not score a certain amount of points and has been kicked out of the league forever. The NBA is not stopping there. They are in talks with, I guess, the likes of MGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, those people.
Yeah.
In discussions with them about what kind of wagers should be offered on NBA games. And according to reports, one of the things they're trying to get these betting sites to stop allowing is prop bet wagers where you bet under.
Ah, yes.
The point being, if Jonte Porter is supposed to score over 10 points, and somebody he knows says, hey, or some bookie gets to him and says, hey, you better score under, that won't be possible
allowed,
anymore. Now, they will apparently still allow you to do a prop bet and bet over the total.
Which makes sense.
Because that means something you're trying to accomplish. At least it's not something you're not trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
There's also some talk of not allowing any betting at all on players that are up and down from the G Leagues. The reason, again, being there, that those players are easier to get to.
Yes.
Because they don't have as much money.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't
easier get to bribe.
You can't get LeBron James to take a $1 million bribe, even if he was thinking of doing it. He doesn't need $1 million.
That's just sitting on his floor.
Right.
I get that. You know, when you described the story to me as you walked out of the studio during the break, I was like, this is dumb. But I like this. I think going betting the overs is a smart idea if they want to try and stop this
stuff. I'm just going to applaud the NBA for at least on the surface trying to do something, to help try to eradicate some of the issues that go along with gambling on sports and these leagues being basically in bed with all of these businesses. And, you know, it's always funny because the NBA is always in the lead on stuff like this. You don't see the NFL or baseball coming up with any ideas.
Yeah.
You know, how to try to make this better and less, you know, concerning.
I guess,
but at least the NBA is doing something. I like it.
I guess basketball, you have the easiest chance of affecting your own outcome.
Maybe so.
Because in football, you have to rely on blocking. You have to rely on all that stuff.
Right. But if you've got a rookie quarterback who's not making a bunch of money, say, Brock Purdy type of guy.
Oh, you think Brock Purdy's going
to
be cheating?
No, I don't. But you could get to somebody along that ilk and say, hey, here's $10 million. You know, just make sure you throw for under 230 yards.
I'm trying to think of a journeyman quarterback that would love that. Like,
I don't know.
Like a what's his name from Washington State? Gosh, he just played for the Colts. He's a quarterback. Gardner Minshew.
Gardner might be up for something like that.
He might.
All right. Well, I'm not going to go into one of my betting harangues. Let's get through this. All right. Let's get some picks. Orlando -4 over Cleveland today. Game 6. Cleveland leads 3-2. Orlando's trying to stay alive. Cleveland's looking to close it out. Scraby.
I know nothing about this series, although I have heard they've had some pretty great games. I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Cleveland to close it out?
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, Cleveland will close it out.
Oh, they will.
Orlando has never been in this situation before where they played a game where they could be eliminated. And I think they're going to get a little nervous.
A little nervous.
But a good season for Orlando nonetheless. I'll take Cleveland. Dallas 8 over the Clippers. Games at Dallas. And Dallas leads 3-2. I'll take the Clippers. I picked them to win this series. They obviously have to win tonight, although James Harden is kind of being silly. They asked him, do you feel any pressure trying to stave off elimination? He goes, oh, no, the pressure's on them. They have to win. No, they don't. You have to win.
They kind of do have to win, though.
Dallas?
I'm not a big fan of James Harden, but I can kind of sort of see his thought process there.
Well, I can kind of sort of, but I don't truly.
Yeah.
Who are you going with?
I got to think the Clippers are going to even it up.
Clippers get 8 points. That's a lot.
Is Kawhi playing?
He is not.
Okay.
He's not. All right, back to the Orlando-Cleveland. Who scores more points? Pablo Banchero of Orlando or Donovan Mitchell of Cleveland? We haven't heard from Donovan in a while.
No, we have not heard from Donovan in a while.
I've never seen anyone ever do that!
That was when he was with the Jazz.
Yeah. Who you like here?
Banchero or Donovan Mitchell? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell.
You got to go with Donovan after that clip you just played.
I've never seen anyone ever do that!
I think Cleveland has more depth, but I'll go with Donovan Mitchell here. It's tough. Braves, L.A. Dodgers tonight. Braves are favored by 1.5 runs.
Ooh.
I honestly can't believe the Dodgers are at home, as good as the Dodgers are, and they're underdog. I don't know if you could ever get a bet on the Dodgers as underdogs at home.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I'll take advantage of that.
I'll take
the Dodgers.
The Braves, although have a good record and are hitting well, like Ronald Acuna, it's so funny how people are so worried about his start to the season.
Yeah, he's done.
It's over for him.
Yeah, Charlie Morton pitches for Atlanta. Gavin Stone, youngster for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm going Dodgers.
We're both going to go the Dodgers.
You get runs.
And finally, the Vegas Golden Knights. The defending Stanley Cup champions try to stave off elimination tonight. They are home to the Dallas Stars. Dallas has won 3 games in a row and now leads the series 3-2. Dallas is favored by 1.5. Does Vegas stave off elimination? I say they do. And force a game 7. I'll take Vegas at home. I know you've done a lot of research and film work on this game.
Yes. In the interest of making one of our bets different, I'll go with the Stars.
The Stars. Okay, when we come back, we've got our countdown. It's a good one today. Who are our all-time 5 favorite Padres not named Gwynn? A very interesting list, I believe, from all 3 of us. What's yours? We'll discuss it all when we come back on Gwynn and Chris. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., heading into the ballpark there in Arizona. Padres and Diamondbacks, EcoWater, SoCal, pregame show. Coming up a couple of hours from now, Sam Levitt will have all the insight for you. Jay Cronenworth joined the program a little earlier. If you missed any part of that interview, 97.3 The Fan SD, or download the Odyssey app. You can listen to that at your leisure. Jake was, as usual, very forthcoming and fun. Scraby's alongside here. We were talking about the NBA and trying to get the gambling websites to change some of the betting. I said that I erroneously said that the one of the things the NBA is asking for is to not allow G Leaguers to bet. That's silly. They're not allowing anybody to bet. What I meant was they're asking that they don't put props out for G League players.
Yes.
So that those players couldn't bet against or on themselves.
You know, I think there's a bigger issue if you're betting on G League players.
Well, you know, people are looking for a bet, and if they can feel like they can win it, they'll make the bet.
I guess. I personally will not rest my fate into a G Leaguer's hands.
Yeah, but you might if you're already giving him $1 million and you're asking him to score below 12 points.
That is true, but I will not be doing that.
That's scary, and that just can't happen. And the NBA and the NFL and baseball have to make sure it doesn't. All right, we had Jake Cronenworth on. He's one of our favorite Padres. Who are our other favorite Padres? Top five. I kind of like your list, Scraby.
Do you want to know what Shane's list is real quick?
Sure.
All right, Shane
ahead
says...
Ahead of our list?
Yeah,
no, I don't want to hear his list before ours.
Well, okay.
Well, I don't want him to start giving away players we might use.
Okay.
All right, give me Shane's list.
I'll give you a couple that we didn't
use. He was nice enough to
No, I'll give you a couple that he didn't use, that we didn't use.
All right, who do you have?
Bip Roberts.
Leon.
Sure.
Bip Roberts.
Terry Kennedy.
Terry Kennedy, interesting.
Nate Colbert.
Nate. All right, I like Nate.
Caminiti, Dave Winfield.
Okay.
Some of them also say Jake Peavy.
Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake was pretty popular. All right, let's see who we picked up after we checked some traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. Turning out to be kind of a busy ride this afternoon, guys. We've got a crash on...
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every Friday we pick a topic. We count down our favorites. It dawned on me a little earlier today. We had Jay Cronenworth on the show earlier as our Friar Friday interview. Thought to myself, Jay Cronenworth, one of everybody's favorite Padres. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Jay Cronenworth. He's a fan favorite. He's one of our favorites. Jerkson Profar, fast becoming a fan favorite. If not, you know, just everybody's kind of favorite guy to hang around. There's a lot of them. So I started thinking, who are the all-time Padre fan favorites? Are Padre fan favorites? So today's category, the top five all-time players who have worn a Padre uniform, not named Gwynn. Because I think it's pretty obvious that everybody
Gwynn
put...
Gwynn Sr.?
No, any Gwynn.
Oh,
any
okay.
Gwynn. We'd put both Tony and his dad on the list, obviously. So I thought I'd eliminate the name Gwynn and, you know, just kind of have us go through some of the top five. I think my list's a little interesting. I hope, you know, yours is. Everybody has fun with this.
Number five.
But who would be your guys? Top five Padres. You want me to start?
Yes, please.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to start with a guy, kind of, I'm going to make it sound like this is a little out of left field, but it's actually out of shortstop. this guy was a guy that I got to know a little bit, did a couple of articles on him when I was doing some sports writing, and found him to be really introspective. I really enjoyed him. I also loved watching him play. He seemed to turn in a highlight reel play almost on a nightly basis. And that's Khalil Green. I really liked Khalil Green. I think he could have been great. He was sidetracked, I think, by some issues. You know, stress, anxiety, things of that nature, which are very real issues for ball players. But I think when he was playing, I think we've come a long way in that area since he was playing. And I think when he was playing, it had to be kept pretty quiet. I think it was kind of slash embarrassing. So we didn't really, I don't know that anybody ever met it head on. Khalil Greene kind of disappeared from view after going to the Cardinals. So, you know, I really liked Khalil Greene. I thought he was a great player, great young kid, and he sneaks into number five on my all-time Padres.
Yeah, so for this all-time Padres, it's impossible for me to do five. So you'll be getting, like, dual five and a four at least as
okay.
we go down this.
Perfect. So, yeah, you got so many.
One of Khalil's, I would say, good friends on those Padres team is on my list as a dual top fiver. It is Damian Jackson and Ricky Gutierrez. They're two top five in my list.
Interesting.
Both infielders. Ricky came. He came. I don't know if he came up with the Padres, but he was one of the dudes my dad kind of took under his wing. So I got to know him. He's now one of the coaches for the Nationals at the big league level. But he was one of my favorite. And DJ, I got to know. I was probably 16, 17 when I met him. And so we were closer in age. He was young. He was fun to be around. And then, you know, as I started my career and he was still playing, I got to do it at a more of a professional level. But those two are five for my list.
There again. Yeah, right. Tony's got, he had to really sort through a lot of names for this list.
My list is going to be just strictly from the time that I've been in with Padres Radio for 6 years now.
Fair.
And my number five is Will Myers, a guy who never turned us down for an interview, a guy who was never dull during an interview, a guy who you guys asked about Mars one time and whether or not he was interested, and he said he didn't care. You know, that wasn't to my liking, but he still gave us his opinion, and a guy who goes through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru in his uniform is a guy for
your
me.
Your kind of guy.
Yes.
Will Myers. One of your all-time favorite podcasts.
And congratulations to Will. I believe he and his wife, I think they had a kid.
Well, I did not know that.
I believe so.
All right.
Congratulations to the Myers.
Really hope that happened.
Yeah, I do too now. Now that you mentioned it.
Number four.
All right, number four this on my guy. List is probably not somebody you guys thought about because I'm cheating a little on my list, but this guy did wear a Padre uniform as a player, but he's mostly remembered for wearing a Padre uniform as a manager. So Bruce Bochy is my number four all-time favorite Padre. There's so many reasons why I love hanging out and talking baseball with Boch. Not the least of which is that when I was doing Gulls hockey and he was managing, he came to a game one night and agreed to come up at the intermission and do a little interview about his hockey knowledge, which was limited, but just always fun. And then he capped it off by the moment we had a couple of years ago when he couldn't get across security to come over and visit with us at the baseball winter meetings, despite being a three-time World Series champ. Now he's a four-time champ. Bruce Bochy, just no ego whatsoever, and has every right basically to have an ego, but that's just not his style. He's a great guy. Number four.
Yeah.
Number four on my list is a set of pitchers. Scott Sanders, the Sandman, and Andy Ashby. Loved both of those guys to death. Andy Ashby took me on my first ever fishing trip.
Wow.
I didn't know it at the time, but we caught like about 60-something fish. Like, it was crazy. I was throwing it out. And so this is my first experience fishing, so you kind of ruined me for the rest of my experiences fishing. However, I would later find out that we were like in the back of somebody's yard who just like stalked the fish, so it was like, you know, easy to go out and catch fish. But
either
way, I think I was like 9 or 10,
you
so I didn't
so
put
excited,
it all I didn't
awesome.
Put it all
That's
together
hilarious.
Right, we walked through somebody's yard and then bam, there was some water there. We got in a boat and just went out and was casting and catching fish. And then Scott Sanders, just, you know, grew close to him and his family when they were here, so they are number four on my list.
All right. My number four is this guy.
Manny Margolis got a haircut.
Fran Neal. He was awesome. I miss him. I still miss him. I missed him when he got traded. That interview, I think, was right before he got traded.
Pretty close.
And he was just, you know, he always had a smile on his face, and he always put people in good moods. He never played better than he did with the Padres, though, unfortunately.
As it turned out, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people thought Fran Neal was going to be, you know, headed for greatness. I mean, I never forget that home run he hit. Still bouncing, you know, out there in Ghirardelli Square. Mm. That's in San Francisco. Yes, that would be some blow from Petco Park to hit it all the way out there. But anyway, yeah, Franmil, good call, Scrabe.
Thanks.
Good call.
Number three.
Number three is the second leading hitter in Padre history behind Tony's dad, and that is Mark Loretta. One of my favorite ball players, just simply to watch him play. I thought he gave the Padres great, great games, great effort. Just, really a tough out. And, you know, just a solid all-around player and a super solid all-around guy. Always gracious, always fair to us in the radio world. And just a top-notch guy all the way around. Mark Loretta, number three for me. Tony.
Number three is my last duo combo. And that, I lost my train of thought.
Your last duo combo.
Gary Templeton and, of course, Ricky Henderson.
Oh.
Two of the all-time favorites.
When I thought about this category, I expected Gary Templeton to come up. Because I know he and your dad were really close, and then you and they grew up in, they lived in Poway also.
Poway, yeah.
Yeah.
Went to high school with one of his sons. I'm still close to their family to this day. So, number three, right? We're on three.
Yeah.
Gary. Ricky was like, I mean, come on. Like, his guy came over and he was like, that's like the GOAT of like all time leadoff hitters. You wouldn't want anybody else in coming out of the leadoff spot. And that dude, I got to pick his brain on stealing bases. I got to do just crazy things that most people, you know, would dream of to have being able to do. So he's number three on my list.
All right.
Number two.
I'm speaking for Ricky, but Ricky appreciates that.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he had a funny way about
it. I just skipped myself, sorry.
Did you do number three?
No, I didn't. I skipped myself.
How important you are to this segment.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about Ricky. My number three is another guy who never turns us down for an interview, always has time for us, Joe Musgrove. And he did prank me a few weeks ago, but I would have put him on the list even before that.
I would have put him higher because he pranked you.
Yeah.
And that was a great
moment.
It
was a great prank. It was a great moment. But Joe Musgrove, he gives you, when he sits down with you or when he's on the phone with you, you feel like he is enjoying the time. He's not just trying to get through it. He's there, he's present.
For sure.
And that's hard for some athletes. Don't really like talking on the phone. It's a good thing Joe does. So, Joe Musgrove.
Yeah, that he needed to be on one of our lists. So,
yes.
I'm glad you got him in there. All right, number two for me is another guy who wore a Padres uniform. Never wore it as a player, but he wore it in 1980. And he wore it for 1 year only. But he's got a statue. And the Padres would not be the Padres without this guy. I can't imagine a better human being that ever lived than Jerry Coleman.
Mm.
I got to put him on my list. I think one of my biggest thrills in radio broadcasting is getting a chance to do three spring training games with Jerry Coleman. And it still rates at the top of my list of, you know, fun stuff I got to do. And we could go on and on about everything he accomplished in his life. He's a great American. He's a great, you know, husband, father, was, you know, really, to me, the heart and soul of the Padres organization. Jerry, number two.
All right.
Tony Gwynn?
Number two on my list. He wore the Padre uniform for a short period of time, but he would go on to be a Hall of Famer. And I just remember really liking him as a six, seven-year-old. And that would be Roberto Alomar, number two on my list.
All right.
Yeah.
Roberto Alomar.
That's all I got.
My number two is actually going to be a guy that got me a free trip to Cooperstown indirectly. And that would be Trevor Hoffman. When I first got this job and started with Chris and Tony, they surprised us after like 2 months of being here that we were going to go on an all-expenses-paid trip to Cooperstown for Trevor Hoffman's induction into the Hall of Fame, and that was awesome. But either way, every time I've ever had an interaction with him, it's always been very positive, and it's always been very nice of him to take time out of his day. So Trevor Hoffman, number two.
You know what you should be grateful for is time. Because if Adam knew what he knows now, you wouldn't have got to go. You wouldn't have got to go on that trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so happy we got to go on that trip. That was amazing. So that's my number two.
That was fun. Number one. All right, number one for me was, to me, and again, you have to go back for the old-time Padre fans, I think, will remember this. I mean, the franchise started in 1969. But in my mind, the Padres didn't even scratch a sniff on the baseball map until this guy came along. And once he came along, the Padres became, you know, interesting, and people talked about them. And I'll never forget Vin Scully, as I grew up as a kid in L.A., romanticizing this player from L.A., even though he was playing in San Diego. And all of us kids started falling in love with this guy, even though we never got to see him play.
Can you tell us already?
I'm going to tell you in a second. But now I count him among one of my closest friends, and I think it's amazing that I got lucky enough to get to know Randy Jones.
Ah, yes.
So I go Randy number one. It took me about six or seven dinners. I mean, luckily, you know, his wife and my wife became really good friends, so we got to go out and do some things with Randy Jones. It took me about six or seven dinners with him to stop pinching myself and really believe that I was out to dinner just hanging out with one of my childhood heroes. I think he's a lot of our childhood heroes in San Diego, and he still represents the Padres with class today. Randy, numero uno for me.
Good one.
Thank you. Tony.
This is easy. Trevor Hoffman, number uno in my book. I mean, literally grew up in the same area as he became, like, from a young player to an all-star to a husband to a dad. Like, I got to see all of that. So, and he's just good peoples. So, number one on my list, Trevor.
Good one. My number one. Fernando Tatis Jr., just because he's amazing to watch play. We were talking about this on Saturday, my friend and I, about Fernando plays. And if I say the time he levitated, you guys know exactly what play that was, right?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. He was at shortstop in those days.
He was. He jumped. Somehow he jumped in the air again to get the ball, and that was awesome. It was great. But Fernando is fun to watch. He's good to have. You know, that bat flip against the Cardinals was pretty awesome. So there you go.
And maybe if he hears this, he'll come on our show one
day. Fernando, anytime you want.
Pretty sure everybody else on this list has been on the show. All right, there's our countdown. All-time top favorite Padres, not named Gwynn. When we return, get into Chris versus the fans. A little trivia and a chance for you to go to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. Coming up.
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every Friday we pick a topic. We count down our favorites. It dawned on me a little earlier today. We had Jay Cronenworth on the show earlier as our Friar Friday interview. Thought to myself, Jay Cronenworth, one of everybody's favorite Padres. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Jay Cronenworth. He's a fan favorite. He's one of our favorites. Jerkson Profar, fast becoming a fan favorite. If not, you know, just everybody's kind of favorite guy to hang around. There's a lot of them. So I started thinking, who are the all-time Padre fan favorites? Are Padre fan favorites? So today's category, the top five all-time players who have worn a Padre uniform, not named Gwynn. Because I think it's pretty obvious that everybody
Gwynn
put...
Gwynn Sr.?
No, any Gwynn.
Oh,
any
okay.
Gwynn. We'd put both Tony and his dad on the list, obviously. So I thought I'd eliminate the name Gwynn and, you know, just kind of have us go through some of the top five. I think my list's a little interesting. I hope, you know, yours is. Everybody has fun with this.
Number five.
But who would be your guys? Top five Padres. You want me to start?
Yes, please.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to start with a guy, kind of, I mean, it's make it sound like this is a little out of left field, but it's actually out of shortstop. This guy was a guy that I got to know a little bit, did a couple of articles on him when I was doing some sports writing, and found him to be really introspective. I really enjoyed him. I also loved watching him play. He seemed to turn in a highlight reel play almost on a nightly basis. And that's Khalil Green. I really liked Khalil Green. I think he could have been great. He was sidetracked, I think, by some issues, you know, stress, anxiety, things of that nature, which are very real issues for ball players. But I think when he was playing, I think we've come a long way in that area since he was playing. And I think when he was playing, it had to be kept pretty quiet. I think it was kind of slash embarrassing. So we didn't really, I don't know that anybody ever met it head on. Khalil Green kind of disappeared from view after going to the Cardinals. So, you know, I really liked Khalil Green. I thought he was a great player, great young kid, and he sneaks into number five on my all-time Padres.
So for this all-time Padres, it's impossible for me to do five. So you'll be getting, like, dual five and a four at least as
okay.
we go down this.
Perfect. So, yeah, you got so many.
One of Khalil's, I would say, good friends on those Padres team is on my list as a dual top fiver. It is Damian Jackson and Ricky Gutierrez. They're two top five in my list.
Interesting.
Both infielders. Ricky came, I don't know if he came up with the Padres, but he was one of the dudes my dad kind of took under his wing, so I got to know him. He's now one of the coaches for the Nationals at the big league level. But he was one of my favorite. And DJ, I got to know. I was probably 16, 17 when I met him. And so we were closer in age. He was young. He was fun to be around. And then, you know, as I started my career and he was still playing, I got to do it at a more of a professional level. But those two are five for my list.
There again. Yeah, right. Tony's got, he had to really sort through a lot of names for this list.
My list is going to be just strictly from the time that I've been in with Padres Radio for 6 years now.
Fair.
And my number five is Will Myers, a guy who never turned us down for an interview, a guy who was never dull during an interview, a guy who you guys asked about Mars one time and whether or not he was interested, and he said he didn't care. You know, that wasn't to my liking, but he still gave us his opinion, and a guy who goes through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru in his uniform is a guy for
your kind of guy.
Yes.
Will Myers. One of your all-time favorite podcasts.
And congratulations to Will. I believe he and his wife, I think they had a kid.
Well, I did not know that.
I believe so.
All right.
Congratulations to the Myers.
Really hope that happened.
Yeah, I do too now. Now that you mentioned it. Number four. All right, number four this on my list is probably not somebody you guys thought about because I'm cheating a little on my list, but this guy did wear a Padre uniform as a player, but he's mostly remembered for wearing a Padre uniform as a manager. So Bruce Bochy is my number four all-time favorite Padre. I there's so many reasons why I love hanging out and talking baseball with Boch. Not the least of which is that when I was doing Gulls hockey and he was managing, he came to a game one night and agreed to come up at the intermission and do a little interview about his hockey knowledge, which was limited, but just always fun. And then he capped it off by the moment we had a couple of years ago when he couldn't get across security to come over and visit with us at the baseball winter meetings, despite being a three-time World Series champ. Now he's a four-time champ. Bruce Bochy, just no ego whatsoever, and has every right basically to have an ego, but that's just not his style. He's a great guy. Number four.
Yeah.
Number four on my list is a set of pitchers. Scott Sanders, the Sandman, and Andy Ashby. Loved both of those guys to death. Andy Ashby took me on my first ever fishing trip.
Wow.
I didn't know it at the time, but we caught, first of all, we caught like about 60-something fish. Like, it was crazy. I was throwing it out. And so this is my first experience fishing, so you kind of ruined me for the rest of my experiences fishing. However, I would later find out that we were like in the back of somebody's yard who just like stocked a fish, so it was like, you know, easy to go out and catch fish.
I
think I was like 9 or 10, so I didn't
so
put
excited,
it all
though.
I didn't
awesome.
Put it all
That's
together
hilarious.
Right, we walked through somebody's yard and then bam, there was some water there. We got a boat and just went out and was casting and catching fish. And then Scott Sanders, just, you know, grew close to him and his family when they were here, so they are number four on my list.
All right. My number four is this guy.
Manny Margot just got a haircut.
Fran Neal. He was awesome. I miss him. I still miss him. I missed him when he got traded. That interview, I think, was right before he got traded.
Pretty close.
And he was just, you know, he always had a smile on his face, and he always put people in good moods. He never played better than he did with the Padres, though, unfortunately.
As it turned out, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people thought Fran Neal was going to be, you know, headed for greatness. I mean, I never forget that home run he hit. Oh. Still bouncing, you know, out there in Ghirardelli Square. Mm. That's in San Francisco.
Yes,
that would
is.
Be some blow
yeah.
from Petco
well,
Park to hit it all the way out
far.
There. But anyway, yeah, Fran Neal, good call, Scrabe.
Thanks.
Good call.
Number three
is the second leading hitter in Padre history behind Tony's dad, and that is Mark Loretta. One of my favorite ball players, just simply to watch him play. I thought he gave the Padres great, great games, great effort. Just a, you know, really a tough out, and you know, just a solid all around player and a super solid all around guy. Always gracious, always fair to us in the radio world, and just a top notch guy all the way around. Mark Loretta, number three for me. Tony,
number three is my last duo. Combo and okay. that dang, I lost my train of thought. There we go. Gary Templeton and of course Ricky Henderson.
Oh.
Two of the all-time favorites.
You know, when I thought about this category, I expected Gary Templeton to come up because I know
yes.
he and your dad were really close, and then you and they grew up in they lived in Poway also.
Poway, yeah.
Yeah.
Went to high school with one of his sons. I'm still close to the family to this day. So number three, right? We're on three.
Yeah.
Gary. Ricky was like, I mean, come on, like the guy came over and he was like, that's like the GOAT of like all time leadoff hitters. You wouldn't want anybody else in coming out of leadoff spot. And that dude, I got to pick his brain on stealing bases. I got to do just crazy things that most people, you know, would dream of to have being able to do. So he's number three on my list.
All right.
Number two.
I'm speaking for Ricky, but Ricky appreciates that.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he had a funny way about it.
I just skipped myself. Sorry.
Did you do number three?
No, I didn't. I skipped myself. I was so
shows
was,
how important you are to this segment.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about Ricky. My number three is another guy who never turns us down for an interview, always has time for us, Joe Musgrove. And he did prank me a few weeks ago, but I would have put him on the list even before that.
I would have put him higher because he pranked you.
Yeah.
Man. That was a great
moment.
It
was a great prank. It was a great moment. But Joe Musgrove, he gives you, when he sits down with you or when he's on the phone with you, you feel like he is enjoying the time. He's not just trying to get through it. He's there, he's present.
For
and
sure.
That's hard for some athletes. Don't really like talking on the phone. It's a good thing Joe does. So, Joe Musgrove.
Yeah, that he needed to be on one of our lists. So
yes.
I'm glad you got him in there. All right, number two for me is another guy who wore a Padres uniform. Never wore it as a player, but he wore it in 1980, and he wore it for 1 year only. But he's got a statue, and the Padres would not be the Padres without this guy. I can't imagine a better human being that ever lived than Jerry Coleman.
Mm.
I got to put him on my list. I think one of my biggest thrills in radio broadcasting is getting a chance to do three spring training games with Jerry Coleman. And it still rates at the top of my list of, you know, fun stuff I got to do. And we could go on and on about everything he accomplished in his life. He's a great American. He's a great, you know, husband, father, was, you know, really, to me, the heart and soul of the Padres organization. Jerry, number two.
All right.
Tony Gwynn?
Number two on my list. He wore the Padre uniform for a short period of time, but he would go on to be a Hall of Famer. And I just remember really liking him as an 6-7-year-old, and that would be Roberto Alomar, number two on my list.
All right.
Yeah.
Roberto Alomar.
That's all I got.
My number two is actually going to be a guy that got me a free trip to Cooperstown indirectly. And that would be Trevor Hoffman. When I first got this job and started with Chris and Tony, they surprised us after like 2 months of being here that we were going to go on an all-expenses-paid trip to Cooperstown for Trevor Hoffman's induction into the Hall of Fame. And that was awesome. But either way, every time I've ever had an interaction with him, it's always been very positive, and it's always been very nice of him to take time out of his day. So Trevor Hoffman, you know what, number two.
You know what you should be grateful for is time. Because if Adam knows now, you wouldn't have got to go. You wouldn't have got to go on that trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so happy we got to go on that trip. That was amazing. So that's my number two.
That was fun. Number one. All right, number one for me was, to me, and again, you have to go back for the old-time Padre fans, I think will remember this. I mean, the franchise started in 1969. But in my mind, the Padres didn't even scratch a sniff on the baseball map until this guy came along. And once he came along, the Padres became, you know, interesting, and people talked about them. And I'll never forget Vin Scully, as I grew up as a kid in L.A., romanticizing this player from L.A., even though he was playing in San Diego. And all of us kids started falling in love with this guy, even though we never got to see him play.
Can you tell us already?
I'm going to tell you in a second. But now I count him among one of my closest friends, and I think it's amazing that I got lucky enough to get to know Randy Jones.
Ah, yes.
So I go Randy number one. It took me about 6 or 7 dinners. I mean, luckily, you know, his wife and my wife became really good friends, so we got to go out and do some things with Randy Jones. It took me about 6 or 7 dinners with him to stop pinching myself and really believe that I was out to dinner just hanging out with one of my childhood heroes. I think he's a lot of our childhood heroes in San Diego, and he still represents the Padres with class today. Randy, numero uno for me.
Good one.
Thank you. Tony.
This is easy. Trevor Hoffman, number uno in my book. I mean, literally grew up in the same area as he became, like from a young player to an all-star to a husband to a dad. Like, I got to see all of that. So, and he's just good peoples. So, number one on my list, Trevor.
Good one. My number one. Fernando Tatis Jr., just because he's amazing to watch play. We were talking about this on Saturday, my friend and I, about Fernando plays. And if I say the time he levitated, you guys know exactly what play that was, right?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. He was a shortstop in those days.
He was. He jumped. Somehow he jumped in the air again to get the ball, and that was awesome. It was great. But Fernando is fun to watch. He's good to have. You know, that bat flip against the Cardinals was pretty awesome. So there you go.
And maybe if he hears this, he'll come on our show one
day. Fernando, anytime you want.
Pretty sure everybody else on this list has been on the show. All right, there's our countdown. All-time top favorite Padres, not named Gwynn. When we return, get into Chris versus the fans. A little trivia and a chance for you to go to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. Coming up.